All right. We are ready to begin. At least I am up here. I thank you all for your patience. And your work, as I mentioned earlier, is that you sing fully and freely to the Lord. We'll all sing together. That's one of my great joys when I come together in convention with you and we have these opportunities to have a vesper service. So we'll open with the hymn, Walking with God. Sometimes a very lonely, difficult road, but the Lord is always with us. And as we walk the narrow way, He gives us songs to sing, songs in the house of our pilgrimage. We watch our brethren in their walk, and they've been great examples to us. They encourage us. How could we sit down at ease when they continue on that difficult path? No, we want to stay shoulder to shoulder with them. I love the tale told in the hymn, The Wayworn Pilgrim. Just the joy and the difficulties encountered along the way. So let's join together in singing The Wayworn Pilgrim.
Oh, so shall we bless the glory,
So gracious to us. He gives us those moments of meditation, quiet, reserved meditation with Him. And in that meditation upon His Word, we hear a music. And we call the music of His words that comes into our ears something akin to the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. It fills our home with joy and peace.
It are the songs in the house of our pilgrimage. I love the Psalms. The title of our presentation tonight comes from Psalm 119. Consider together. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. Remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your ordinances from old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. This has become mine, that I observe your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. The Lord has given us songs in the house of our pilgrimage. But what is it to be a pilgrim? Well, we can turn to a dictionary and read about it. And we'll find that pilgrim is a noun. And the definition of pilgrim is one who journeys in foreign lands, a wayfarer, one who travels to a shrine or holy place as a devotee, or people who eat turkey at Thanksgiving time with big hats and wide buckles on their outfits. But that's kind of clinical and dry, isn't it? I found a lovely quote about what it is to be a pilgrim and to make a pilgrimage. See what you think. What is it to be a pilgrim? Well, to journey without being changed is to be a nomad. To change without journeying is to be a chameleon. You're an imitation. You don't have the credibility. You don't have the experience. You're only adapting to your environment, but no real internal change has happened. So to journey without changing, I'm sorry, to change without journeying is to be a chameleon. But here I think, for our purposes, is what the definition of a pilgrim is. To journey and to be transformed by the journey is to be a pilgrim. And that's been the theme today. Being transformed by the journey. It's a process, brethren, and it's a wonderful privilege to be engaged in it. Let's sing of our joys. We are pilgrims, aren't we? Let's sing together, I'm a pilgrim. I'm a pilgrim.
Imagine what life would be without them. Brother Michael mentioned a friend that had read the Bible, and it was a nice group of stories. And when we read that book, it is a living word that penetrates deep into our hearts, changes us, and encourages us, and makes us feel known. Makes us realize that we are in the presence of a supreme, supernatural power. A power that is motivated by love, with incredible wisdom, mercy, patience, kindness, forbearance, all in the Word of God. I'd like to read a few words from the Scriptures, from Hebrews 13. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Have you thought about that recently? That when you praise him, that when you give thanks to him in every aspect of life, that when you do good, motivated because of him, that when you share out of godly love, these are sacrifices with which God is well pleased. We thank the Lord for the example of our Lord Jesus, and we want to sing about the fact that in all the way that we go, our Savior leads us. Thank you. Sometimes our road does seem to be lonely, isolated. Whose footsteps are we placing our footprints in? Or whose footprints are we placing our footsteps in? Those who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They don't seek the easy way or the obvious way. They seek the way that our Lord Jesus took and seek to follow exactly in his footsteps. This also causes songs to arise in our hearts. Songs in the house of our pilgrimage. We thank the Heavenly Father for his word. We thank him for the privilege of being pilgrims and strangers in this world. Our soul thirsts for the Lord. I love David's expressions of his thirst for the wealth and the joys and the blessing of his great creator. Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary? Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, meditate on thee in the night watches. How good the Lord is to us. How kind the Lord is to us. Why do you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning? Actually, my time is probably more like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Thoughts running through my mind. How about you? Yeah, those are the storms of life that come to bear against us. And I appreciate hearing that so many of you have followed the wisdom of not sitting here and worrying about the things of tomorrow, but to turn those thoughts toward the Heavenly Father and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. I may repeat that 20 or 30 times. Hallowed be his holy name, our Heavenly Father. He gives us comfort in the life or life storms. And brethren, it's not a hymn that we often sing, but let us join together in singing On Jordan's Stormy Banks. You'll recognize the tune eventually.
Please.
Are guided by the goodness of our God. He gives us songs in the house of our pilgrimage. He gives us songs in the night We find that phrase in Job 35, verses 10 and 11. But no one says, "Where is God my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens?" Mankind, on the large part, has ignored their Creator, failing to realize the source of life. I love what the Apostle Paul said on Mars Hill in identifying this unknown God to the Greeks gathered there. He says, "This God is the Creator of all mankind, and in Him we live and move and have our very being. And as we follow in the paths of righteousness and the guidance of His Word, we realize more and more that we don't want to be ignorant, saying, 'Where is God my Maker, who gives songs on that?' We are intimately associated with Him. And He does give us songs in the night. And He does give us a wisdom and an insight that is elevated far above the bestial attitude of the flesh, and given us wisdom that we might soar with the wings of eagles." As we reflect on that, our hearts really can be tuned to song, whether we are singing, humming, you know, sometimes you're walking around and hymns are going through your mind and coming out of your mouth, or sometimes just kind of swirling around in your heart. For me, it's endless song. That's the way I see it. Just join together and singing about it. How can I keep from singing? My heart is full of the songs of the house of pilgrimage. We all love the Lord so much.
give thanks so much for all the goodness that he has bestowed upon us. We realize his great and tender mercies toward us. It is a vision that is glorious, reflected perhaps or inspired by the glorious visions of nature around us. You know, it is very inspiring. It is not, I don't think, even close to the glories that await us in heaven. What could be more glorious than to see the Heavenly Father face to face? You know, I was reflecting today at this convention, our very moving testimony meeting. And for a few people present here today, it is their first convention after the loss of a loved one. And I thought, how interesting, you know, when our son passed away, this was the first convention that Sister Janet and I attended after our loss. And I'd like to thank the Sacramental Brethren for their efforts on behalf of the Brethren over the years. Your generosity and the atmosphere that you have created, the spiritual milieu, if I can use that fancy word, is just so delightful, so secure, and so comforting. What a blessing to be here today. And as we sing of that day yet to come, the sweet by and by, we often refer to it as, we'd like to think of those who have left us in the past year. I have a few photographs of them that we will see as we sing our next hymn of praise to the Heavenly Father. It's not the complete list. Generally, the brethren that you will see are brethren who attended this convention, and brethren who were dearly beloved by us, not to the neglect of anyone else, but these are the ones that we received the pictures for. So as we reflect on those that we have lost, those that we have loved and lost in the past year, let us sing the sweet by and by.
And the
Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. It's my hope for many reasons. Not just for the loss that I have endured, but I love life. Life is a miracle. I can't believe how for granted I took life in the preceding decades of my life, but lately it has just become so apparent to me that this is a miracle. And miracles don't happen out of thin air. Effects are brought into being by competent causes. A malcontent mud puddle did not create humanity. It was the creator of the universe, the Heavenly Father. Here's an insight to his character that I've appreciated, and it came from the words of his son, who, of course, is intimately acquainted with him. It's the parable of the 99 and 1. A shepherd has 100 lambs. One wanders off. And he doesn't say, I'm okay. I still have 99. You know, if I got a grade of 99 when I was in school, that's an A, maybe even an A plus. Maybe you lose another. 98, 97, 96. It never gets below 99. He says, I have lost one sheep. I'm going to go find it. How much rejoicing there is in heaven at every recovered sheep. Because I believe that each human being that came into this world is a result of the miraculous work of our Heavenly Father. And I don't believe he looks at life as being cheap, as we in our fallen state often do. Not my guarantee, but his. We shall meet again. It's going to happen. Our fellowship with Jesus and being able to walk with him in the way is poignantly referred to on that marvelous trip on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. The disciples encountered Jesus walking on the road, and he says, I hear you're having a lively discussion. What are you talking about? And he says, haven't you heard? The one that we thought was going to be the Messiah came, and they crucified him. And we're distraught. We don't know what to do. And so we know who the stranger was. It was our Lord Jesus. And I can almost imagine him saying, let me explain. And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going to go further. But they urged him, saying, oh, stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And they approached the village where they were going. He acted as if he was going further. I'm sorry, I have the text there twice. But he acted as he was going to go further. And they said, stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Our hearts burn within us as we have fellowship with him. And we desire in those moments in the evening when we're just all alone, us and the Lord, we desire nothing more than that he abide with us as well, that we might have fellowship with him. And so as we close this evening, we'd like to express our sentiments to the Lord that it is our sincere desire that he abides with us in the evening hour.
Thank you.
May we all be blessed with his abiding presence, not just this evening, but every day, the rest of this life, of course, every day for eternity. Amen. And peace be with you. Do we have a copy of the Songs of the Night?
Yeah.
Brother Gary, would you come?
Maybe check.
Brother Gary, would you come?
Hold on.
Oh, what trouble we get ourselves into when we
raise our hands.
Yeah, sir. I know where my mammy is.
Songs of the Night for February 15th.
I'm not so smart. Wait a second.
Comes from Psalms 149, verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. These are the ones whom the Lord is pleased to instruct and guide in the knowledge of his Son, and into all his blessings. If they continue to be meek, he is able to make of them heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ their Lord. We read in the scriptures that the meek shall inherit the earth. They will inherit under the terms of the primary and original covenant. These will be the seed of Abraham. From these, the blessing will go to all mankind who will be obedient during the millennial reign. After the final test at the end of the millennial age, the whole world will be teachable. They will have learned the great lesson that God is the fountain of all wisdom, and they will have profited by this instruction. Again, the scripture, Psalms 149:4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation.
Thank you, Brother Gary. Dear brethren, let us close with prayer. Gracious and majestic Father in heaven, hallowed be thy most holy name. We thank you for the day that you have provided for us. We thank you that your Spirit has overflowed this convention through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank you for the messages that have been presented today. We thank you for the comfort of fellowship one with another. We thank you for the comfort of just abiding in a room filled with your people, emanating your Spirit, and a mutual love for thee. We love your word, Father. We love your commands. We love your precepts because they are life to us. Where we come short in our obedience to thee, we trust in the great and sufficient grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. So abide with us this evening till we meet again. If it be thy will in the morning, we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.